This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. I am your host, Mike Rappin. Joining me this week, two harbingers of a new age, Brian Murray.
Greetings, mortals.
And Paloma Deerfield.
Hello, friends.
Thank you both for joining me this week. I'm very excited to have a special guest on the episode from the Fictionality podcast and just from the internet in general. Paloma, thank you so much for being on the show. Could you tell everybody at home a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I'm like a new age podcast gal. Got a little podcast called Fictionality with three other ladies. And I really just live the nerdy dream as I've worked in a comic book store for the past almost 5 years.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. I'm in the biz.
Yeah. I mean, Paloma, you know, you and I go back a long time, actually, from when I ran this comic book club in college, and we would come and talk about comic books. And like, it's so cool that, you know, you still live in the area where we went to school and you work at the comic shop that is, by as far as I'm concerned, a pretty solid comic book shop in the area. I mean, Brian, you shop there, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a solid place. And I think a lot of the folks who are on the show who live in the West Michigan area can attest that, the comic shop you work at is fantastic, but you're also on this incredible Fictionality podcast. Could you tell people a little bit about that show as well?
Yeah. So there's four of us. It's me and then my buddies, Brenda, Mary, and Rochelle. And we talk about, our whole thing is nerdy things that are good, very similar to here. and we often talk about comics, graphic novels. We're very into all ages books, especially right now. We get a little rowdy. We've had like some Hello Kitty episodes. but yeah, it's just four of us chatting about stuff. It's a theme every week. Sometimes we go all over the place. The newest episode that just dropped is very unhinged, but fun. Just a really good place to chat. And I'm always getting like new recommendations from my friends on what to read or what to watch.
Yeah, I love listening to that show. Honestly, the fact that you and everyone on that show are just pleasant to listen to. It's such a great range of voices. Plus, you guys seem to really be into a lot of the same books that I am. When I need something that's not like big two Marvel, like I can either go to your show for a recommendation or you're already reading books that I love.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I was listening to the past maybe like three or four episodes of I Read Comic Books. And I'm like, yeah, I love that manga. Me too. That's a good time.
Yeah, well, I guess we should probably get into talking about comic books since that's what we're here to do. I have a legally mandated like thing that's like stamped on the back of my hand. I have to do this every week. I've got to ask you these questions. So let's just get into it. How have you been? How have comic books been? Let's start with you, Brian.
Yeah, I've been pretty good. Kate, my darling wife, is out of town this weekend, so I've been living like an absolute animal. But other than that, I managed to pick up, I didn't even know this was coming out. I actually found it like late last night when I was looking for something to do. Spider-Man, Spider's Shadow number one. It's written by Chip Zdarsky with art, pencils and inks by Pasquale Ferri, colors by Matt Hollingsworth, letters by VCs Joe Caramagna. And it's a what-if story. So longtime listeners, you know that I'm a big sucker for what-ifs. And this is also an alternate Spider-Man, which is my other Achilles heel when it comes to comic books. So this is a story of what if Peter Parker had decided not to give up the symbiote after he was spending his time as the black suit Spider-Man. It's a real cool look into like how might Peter Parker change if he had Venom's voice in his head the way Eddie Brock does. Like how might that affect his decision making? What might his what different road might his life go down? I believe this is going to be a 4-issue miniseries, so it's not like a huge commitment or anything like that. But yeah, it's I really liked it. I think that it manages to walk the line really well between having a darker side of a familiar character without getting too much into the hashtag edgy side of things. It's not, you know, brutal for brutality's sake or violent for violence's sake. It's just You know, Spider-Man, if he took things a little farther, took things more seriously. And I really liked issue one, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
If only Peter Parker were more serious, you know. Isn't that what the Doc Ock Spider-Man was all about? It was like actually Dr. Octavius in Peter Parker's body just like taking shit really seriously, and then Peter Parker was wildly successful because of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't read that stuff. This is what I gleaned from people telling me about that series. But
Mike, you are the one who told me to read Superior Spider-Man.
Okay, listen. I may have read the first issue and been just like, yeah, let's just blindly recommend this book. It seems good.
Well, I mean, come on. I read that too.
Okay. Well, Paloma, what about you? How have you been? How have comic books been? What have you been reading?
I've been pretty good. I've decided that I'm done trying to grow avocados from jars of water. So I've put that on pause.
I saw photos of that. I think it just looked like your apartment was just filled with just vines. Like how is that okay?
It's very much my example of, could a depressed person do this?
Okay.
It's actually more so, it's just in my room, luckily.
Okay.
But I had a good pit yesterday when I was having an avocado, and I was like, no, I'm done. I have enough. But on the comic side of things, I had the pleasure of enjoying volumes 1 and 2 of Bug Boys. And
Chef Kiss. Chef Kiss.
Yes. For those that haven't had the chance or the pleasure, it's about two beetle best friends, Rhino Bee and Stag Bee, going on adventures in their little bug village. And they have big emotions. There's existential stuff. It's also a hoot and a half. The physical comedy you get from this is unmatched, I feel like, in most comics.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been loving that. I realized I hadn't finished the first volume, and I was reading it, and I was like, is Rhino Bee depressed? Is he living with depression right now in this chapter?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Just really big stuff. It's by Laura Netzger, and I just, so many different feelings, the range of emotions.
That I read the first volume of that book, and it is just so, it's such a nice book. Like, that's, I can't describe it any other way than that.
Yeah, it's beautiful art, even though it's like you feel like it's simple in a sense where you're like, oh, I could draw a story like this one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, I can't recommend it enough. I feel like it's slept on currently. Like, this should be huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's probably one of the better, like, I would call it an all ages book that's out there that just really hits, like, from beginning to end. Definitely would recommend that as well. Anything else you've been reading?
I took the dive into Kuroko's Basketball.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had asked for, I was like, what's a good manga to read that's finished on the Shonen Jump app? And while I wanted to read Haikyuu, this is mostly for my break at work reading on my phone. And Haikyuu was just there's too many word bubbles for me to enjoy on the phone.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'll have to do that at home. So I was like, Kuroko's Basketball, I've seen like the first few episodes years ago. I hear it's great. And definitely did some late night reading, too late maybe, but I had heart palpitations. My heart was beating. I didn't know if they were going to win or not. It's intense. It's definitely one of, I think, like the earlier ones were like Haikyuu right now. Like, the fandom is just huge and they love all these boys. But I think with Kuroko's Basketball, some of the side characters suffer from nearly like same face syndrome.
Definitely. I'm just like, definitely.
Which makes sense because you have all these characters and only some of them will get spotlight or have cool tricks. But I'm like, who are you? Which team are you on? Which team am I looking at?
Yeah.
But I am liking it.
Yeah, I read the first two volumes of that. I thought it was really good. And then I fell into Haikyuu and I couldn't stop. So probably we'll go back and revisit that one because I know it's like a really well-loved series overall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I guess I've been all right. I don't know if I told anybody, but I moved recently. I don't know. It's not like I haven't talked about it at all. So it
hasn't been a staple in every conversation we've had for the past month and a half.
Yeah, no. But no, I finally moved. Finally, a Jersey boy. Finally, I was going to make a joke about it, but I figured like it's not a fun thing. So yeah. So now I moved. I got a shot in my arm yesterday, so I'm like 50% of the way to being close to making out with Paul. And sorry, throwback to last week's episode. Sorry. Yeah, but I did read some comic books. I managed to actually sit down and despite all of the activity that I was involved with of moving boxes and stuff, I was actually able to read some books. And one of the books I read was Strange Academy number 1-6. Ooh. This is written by Scotty Young with pencils by Humberto Ramos, ink and inks as well, colors by Edgar Delgado, and letters by Clayton Coles. And all I can say is, are you fucking kidding me with this comic book? From the get-go, page like 1 or 2, like we've got teens, we've got magic, we've got teens going to magic school, we've got the unlikely friends trope, we've got a mystery girl, a cool chubby kid who you're not even sure why he's there, a kid with the kid who's a son of an evil dude, Brother Voodoo, Doctor Strange, Wanda Maximoff, like every single magical thing that you would want in a comic book, but all Marvel flavored is in this book, and it all takes place in New Orleans. Like, come on. This book is absolutely incredible. And I will say, like, as someone who's been reading like a lot of comics for, you know, 10 plus years, I've never really been a huge fan of Humberto Ramos's art. And I know that for some fans of Marvel, that's like hearsay. Other people are like, hell yeah, Mike. And they're shooting guns in the air excited with me. But like the art in this book is gorgeous. Every single page is so meticulously well drawn. The color work is in fucking incredible. I've never seen Ramos's like work colored so well. And I'm pretty sure I'm guessing that like Delgado and Ramos have worked together in the past, but something about this book, it is just spectacular. Scotty Young's writing, like I haven't really read much of Scotty Young. I've only ever seen his like little baby covers that he does, but his writing in this book is spot on. Every single character feels super unique. And while he is like hammering on some like kind of going to school tropes, I think like from beginning to end, you fall in love with all of the main characters of this book. And just reading through the first arc, which I was looking on League of Comic Geeks, it took like a year and some change for this book to come out, just the first 6 issues. It's incredible. Like, you really, really love every single one of these characters. And like, this reminds me of the new X-Men Academy X book that came out a long, long time ago. Like, I know that book has its problems and people in the X community are just like whatever about it. But I think that book, like you fall in love with all these little like teenage kids and you really just want to follow them forever. You don't even care what book they're in. And that's how I feel about every single person in this series. So if you haven't had a chance, I think the first volume of this book is out. Everyone should go read it. There's that Marvel sale that was going on. If you happen to listen to this on Patreon, that's going on to like the 19th. On Comixology, you can get all these books for like 50% off or something. This is super worth it, worth every penny to spend on it, and highly, highly recommend it. So yeah, that's the one book I read this week. The other book I did read, I do want to talk about, is BL Metamorphosis Volume 4. This is by Kaori Tsutsutani. I can...
Amazing.
So, butchering the last name, apologies, but this book, yeah, Paloma, I think you've talked about this maybe on an episode of one of your shows before.
Yeah.
This book is so nice. Like I said that before, you know, about Bug Boys. Like this book is just so truly heartwarming, and it is the most slice of life book you could ever read. I mean, the description of the series is this: Yuki Ichinoi, a 75-year-old woman lonely after the death of her husband, comes across a BL manga, aka boys love manga, in the bookstore one day and buys it out of curiosity. This catches the attention of one of the bookstore clerks, Urara Sayama, a 17-year-old high school student and a fujoshi with no friends. I don't know what that word means. Guessing that's someone who reads a lot of BL books.
I believe so.
Yeah. As Ichinoi returns to buy more BL manga, the two develop an odd friendship despite their 58-year-old age gap. And like you might say, like, who wants to read a book about this? I never would have thought that I would have loved this book, but I read this for a book club a while back, and I think I've talked about it on the show as well. But this volume in particular is so nice because, as we've seen this, the previous 3 volumes, the friendship between Yuki and Irora has grown tremendously, and you see them both being anxious out of care for each other. This constant back and forth as we get between the two perspectives of, should I call her? Am I talking to her too often? You know, coming from both sides, it's just, it feels so true to life, and it feels like, you know, they really, really do care about each other, but they don't want to be annoyances to each other because their lives are so different. Yeah, I can't express how much I love this book, and I definitely don't think it's for everybody. If you just want something that's really down to earth, like extremely down to earth, that will just kind of leave you sitting, kind of feeling nice and calm and relaxed, this book is it. Like, there's just like, if there was calming music that played behind the every page turn of this book, it would make absolute sense. So yeah, I really love just like how much this book like celebrates the mundanities of daily life while also treating it with like super high regard. You know, like the things that the characters in this book are trying to achieve are things that you and I would try to achieve in real life. And it's so nice just to kind of see this book take that and turn it into an actual very well like played out story. So yeah, highly recommend this book. Can't talk about it enough. In fact, I'm like going to make someone, like when this series finishes or something, I think I'm going to do that, like a book series, because I just love it so much.
I got to say, I do relate very hard to the I really like you and don't want to bother you side of things. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's like a core part of like the first volume is like that both of them wanting to talk to each other and hang out and stuff, but they neither of them want to bother each other a lot because they're like, oh, am I texting too much? Am I emailing too often? It's really sweet overall. But yeah, let's move on though. But let's talk about comic books that are coming out, because I think everybody in the Discord chat is listening live. IRCBpodcast.com/Discord. Get in, come hang out with us on Sundays. They want to know what we're excited for this upcoming week. So let's just jump right into things. I'm going to kick it right back to Paloma, because comic books are coming out on April 21st, 2021. What are you excited for this upcoming week?
I'm very stoked for Jonna and the Impossible Monsters number 2. It's by Chris Samney and his partner Laura Samney. So they're co-writing it, and then Chris does the art. And this is garnered as like, it's in the all ages section, mm-hmm. And it's about two sisters in like a fantastical like fantasy world, and how they like lose each other and their dad. I think in the sense where they get transported and separated via some sort of catastrophe. And we don't know if they're alive or not, but the art is just amazing. I was looking at an interview, and Chris was like, I'm normally drawing like action scenes, because he does the art for Firepower, that Robert right. Kirkman series.
That's why I was so surprised, because I can't believe that this book is coming out alongside that yeah. other book. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's so different. He draws so much, like his scenery... I was shocked. Like, I love Chris Samney as an artist. I think he draws superheroes and just like fight scenes so, so well. Mm-hmm, but I was like, these trees are amazing. And like, it's cool to see him draw like sisters and like in a fantasy world, and not just like some random rundown like city or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very excited for that. And what's cool is they're partners, and they kind of base the sisters and their relationship. It's a Rainbow's the older sister, and then there's Jonna, the younger sister, off of like their three kids and how they interact. So it's pretty neat.
Oh, okay.
I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, just looking at the covers of this, like, this book looks super exciting. I just like Chris Samney's art is so incredible. It's amazing to know that he's doing another book alongside that Firepower book. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. What about you, Brian? What are you excited for this week?
My pick for this week is Alien number 2, or as I like to call it, the Fuck You, Nick White special. Because I liked Alien number 1, and I'm going to die on that hill. This is written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, with pencils and inks by Salvador LaRocca, colors by Guru EFX, and letters by Clayton Coles. I do see like what Nick was saying about the art in number 1. It gets almost uncanny valley with the faces on some of these mm-hmm. characters. Mm-hmm. But I think that the backgrounds and like the creature art, especially like once we start seeing xenomorphs, I think is absolutely phenomenal. And I think that it more than outweighs any issues I might have with the human characters. Because I don't know about you, but I don't really go to an Alien book to see the human characters. I am here to see aliens. Nick wants to know what I have to say about the sexy xenomorph lady in the first issue. And I have to say, no comment.
All right.
Well, one thing that Nick and I do agree on, though, is that there is a really interesting story being set up in the first issue. I like that we have sort of two mysteries, because there's a current mystery of going on, which is, you know, what is Weyland-Yutani doing on this Epsilon research station? But we also have this mystery of why is this character, Gabriel Cruz, sort of our main human character, why is he so traumatized by whatever he saw, quote, in the dark? And we get little bits of his therapy sessions with a Bishop android as they sort of talk through it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how these two mysteries kind of inform one another, because I'm sure that it's going to be something about how, you know, this evil that he faced in the past has now come back to visit itself on the present. But I'm really excited to see how it goes.
Gotcha. Well, you know, everyone is entitled to their opinion.
Except Nick.
You know, so I'm... sure. It's interesting to see that you guys have had such drastically different, I think, reactions to this book. I mean, you know, the internet's all over the place with it. I think it's skewing a bit more negative. But, you know, a good story can make up for troublesome art, I guess. Well, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are after the second issue, you know, because the first issue, you know, you never can really tell with some of these books.
I'll tell you, Mike, so. I've gone too deep, too hard. I can't acknowledge if it's bad.
Okay.
I will have to say it's good, even if I hate it. My pride is on the line now.
You know what? I have to respect that. Well, I guess before I get into my pick for this week, I want to shout out some of the folks on Discord who gave me some picks. Danny said his pick was Way of X number one. Saint said his pick was Many Deaths of Layla Starr. Stephanie's pick was Monstrous number three. And I don't know if I got a pick from Nick, so we're just not going to announce it. I'm going to say it's Alien number two.
Nick
just
was,
to make him mad.
Haha number four.
Oh, okay. Haha number four. Sure. Yeah, he's very mad in the Discord chat right now. I guess let me talk about my pick early pick. I am very excited for Many Deaths. Like, I was gonna pick Way of X number one, but then I saw this book, Many Deaths of Layla Starr number one. This is written by Ram V with art by Felipe Andrade. The basic summation of this book seems to be, with humanity on the verge of discovering immortality, the avatar of death is fired and regulated to the world below to live out her now finite days in the body of a 20-something Layla Starr in Mumbai. I don't even know what that's even going to be about, but I can't not pick up this book with that description. Ram V, first off, like, every single book I've written by them has been a banger, like, hands down, especially Infidel, These Savage Shores. Like, come on, Ram V is not messing around. And the art that I've seen from Andrade seems to be, like, out of this world, really stylistic, but very exciting nonetheless. Some of the preview pages I've seen for this book alone look just out of this world, and I'm so here for it. So, Many Deaths of Layla Starr looks to be crazy and exciting, and I'm all for that. I mean, really, this is the kind of, like, exciting stuff that I want to read when it comes to comic books, which leads right into today's topic. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what makes us the most excited about reading comic books. And I'll tell you, seeing Ram V's name on a book is one of those things, but there are many, many other things as well. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, that's what we're getting into. This week on I Read Comic Book, we're talking about what makes us the most excited about reading comic books. I mean, everything and anything. But before we get into that, I need to issue an update, because I'm a dingus and I messed up a credit. I don't know why I got it in my head that Ram V wrote Infidel. He didn't. That's Pornsec Pichere, I think is his name. I was thinking for some reason of Blue and Green. I don't know how I got those two confused. I know they both came out from Image. They both have absolutely beautiful, terrifying cover art. I think that might have been it. But when I said Infidel earlier, I meant Blue and Green. Fantastic book. Everybody should go read that book. But anyways, that being said, let's get into things that make us excited about comic books. I don't think it's messing up credits on books. I think it's probably other things. So I guess, Brian, let's just start with you. You know, what's something that really gets you excited about reading comic books?
Well, I mean, you mentioned miscrediting people, but I do think that, like, the team on a book is definitely a big thing that will get me excited for it. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, like, a lot about creators in the industry. Like, I don't follow as closely as I know a lot of our listeners do. Mm-hmm. But even I, like, if I'm in the shop and I see that this book was written by Kieran Gillen, or I see that, like, Fiona Staples did the art, I mean, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me as well. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I was gonna say, mostly when I pick stuff up, it's purely based on, oh, this looks neat, but occasionally I do actually read the credits page.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, will pretty much follow, you know, creators between books. I think, you know, I think the more comic books you read, you know, the more you start to figure out, oh, this creator actually did a bunch of books that I really, really liked. And then you start to look for their name. And I mean, a lot of the times, like Danny in our chat said, that one of the big things that gets him sucked in is rad cover art. And I think that's what gets a lot of people sucked into comic books to start, is like a really interesting cover. Because I know that that's what, like, grabs my eye, and then I'll start to page through a book and see, like, oh, is this for me? But I'm also like I just did this earlier today. I placed an order with a local comic book shop just because of the creator names, right? Like Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, it's our go-to recommendation or go-to, like, creator team that we talk about here. But you know, anytime those guys are doing something, I'm like, yeah, give it to me. I don't even need to know what it's about. Let's just do it. So I totally get that idea. Paloma, do you have that same kind of thing?
Oh yeah. It's just a lot of, like, writers and artists will, like, do, like, their non-big two books. Like, they'll continue to be, like, a team and do, like, mini series and, like, limited series together, which I absolutely love. We love, like, a good reunion.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, to, like, that limited series, I think, is, like, a great avenue to get, like, writers and artists that you love and follow from, like, maybe big two books or even Image books, but then they're doing, like, something, like, shorter and really what they want to do. I've really, really been digging, like, that's been a good pull in for me lately. Like, Far Sector.
Oh my gosh.
It has NK Jemisin writing, and she's, like, a major, like, prolific, I'd say, like, modern sci-fi writer, like, novel writer. And then Jamal Campbell, who, like, really drew me in with Naomi by Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'll read any comic that these two work on now.
Right. And when you get them paired up, it's like, yeah. Okay, so, like, the stars have aligned today for me to read this comic book for 12 issues.
Yes.
I absolutely agree. That book is far and away probably one of the best comics I've read in a long time from DC.
To fully go on a quick tangent, if you are into novels at all, N.K. Jemisin did The City We Became, which is a very cool urban fantasy novel about, it's about these people who essentially become the avatars for the boroughs of New York City.
Wow.
And they have to, defend the city against, like, basically some kind of, like, eldritch outside threat. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a lot of fun. And I think especially, like, if you're from New York, or if you love New York as a city, I think that it will have even more of a special meaning there.
That sounds so freaking cool.
Yeah, man, that's been on my to-read list for a long time, but as someone who lives in New York, you know, I should probably pick that book up.
You don't live in New York anymore, jackass.
Oh, fuck. Listen, all right. N.K. Jemisin, I think, like, is incredible writer, and, like, to see their work, you know, being celebrated across prose work and in comic books, it's really great to see. And I think that, you know, if you haven't had a chance to read Far Sector, that's going to be, like, the hottest collected edition in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. Like, definitely. I'm talking probably going to be more prolific than, like, Miracle Man or Mr. Miracle, or, like, The Vision. Like, Tom King, get the fuck out of here. It's N.K. Jemisin's time now.
It's time to go, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, I totally agree. You know, like, the following creators thing is a big deal, you know, like, especially when it comes to, like, OGNs. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm addicted to just, like, okay, Box Brown's writing a book. All right, count me in, you know.
Yes.
Lucy Nisley's writing a book. Count me in. You know, I'm at that point with a lot of creators where if they're doing an OGN, like, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to pick it up because their take on things, their art style is something that really, really sucks me in. And it, yes. So I guess, sorry, I'm looking at our chat. Danny says that I hate New York, and it's, wow, it's quite something. I will, I guess one thing that really gets me is, you know, like, you know, fresh ideas, like, and, you know, Paloma, I think to your point, like that, that mini series kind of thing or limited series kind of thing where someone's like, I've got a short story to tell. I want to get in on it. Like, I'm totally all for that because it's not a huge, like, financial commitment. Not, yeah. not every single book needs to be ongoing. And like, it allows, I think, creators to explore new ideas more rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for that. You know, like Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler are creators that, I follow pretty closely because they do a lot of limited series. Like here's a 5-issue run here, or here's a 5-issue run there. And they're not trying to tell these like world changing massive stories that span decades. They're just like, I got 5 issues in me for this story. And I think that you're going to enjoy it. And I think that that's something that I wish comic books would try to do more of. And you know, they do unintentionally when books just get canceled after 6 or 7 or 8 issues. Yeah. But you know, like having an actual beginning, middle, and end for a series, I think is really respectful. And again, that's why I like OGNs a lot, because they're kind of one and done. And I realize that there's probably like a lot more creative effort that goes into it, but the, seeing a lot of just rapid, fresh ideas keeps me excited about comic books, keeps me wanting to try things. Because if it's an, even if it's an unknown creative team, if I see, oh, 5-issue miniseries, I'm on board, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to look at it and say that, you know, like, well, even if this is, even if this turns out to be bad, I'm only on the hook for 5 issues, and
right.
at least I will get a, an entire story. It won't just like end after an issue one day. I think mm-hmm. that's a, that is a huge upside.
Yeah, I definitely like that. And then to what Brian's pick earlier of Spider-Man, Spider Shadow?
Yeah, Shadow of the Spider.
Shadow of the Spider. That
Spider
sounds...
Shadow. No, you're oh. right. I'm wrong about the thing that I chose.
It's cool, like, limited series now for, like, big 2 books. It's, like, a great entry point for what ifs,
mm-hmm.
like, Spider-Man life story. I really like that. I liked seeing Spider-Man age, like, with as time went by.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, like, Chip Zdarsky wrote it, and Mark Brooks did the art. And it was cool seeing Spider-Man like that. I was like, I love Spider-Man, but I don't follow his ongoing title. So it was nice to like hang out with Peter Parker again for a little bit in like a cool new setting.
Right. And it's especially interesting when, you know, big 2 books do those miniseries because, you know, to your point, like being able to just kind of check in on like a character that you like, but you don't want to necessarily dedicate every single month to reading is definitely really nice. Like I really enjoy that limited series style of things when it comes to that, just to like get a little bit of taste of what's going on with Peter Parker, even if it's not specifically continuity related.
Yeah, and it's super nice too, because a lot of the main continuity books, like, I don't want to say that Spider-Man is formulaic, but if you pick up a Spider-Man book, you generally know what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But seeing something like this, Zdarsky book you're talking about, is a great opportunity to explore. Like, well, what if we got to see Spider-Man as an adult instead of a perpetual man boy? not that I don't love him as a perpetual man boy. I do think that's delightful, but. I definitely feel the same way. I love a good what if, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. and I think that comics in general explore that possibility so much more than any other medium. You might get the occasional It's a Wonderful Life episode of a TV show, where, you know, like, what if said character never moved to town or mm-hmm. what have you, but comics do that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But they also have a lot of comics are centered less around a character and more around a mantle. Like a Spider-Man comic doesn't have to be about Peter Parker. It can be about Miles Morales, or it can be about some alternate universe version of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool, because you get the same basic character, but you get to see how a different person with a different experience would approach it.
Mm-hmm,
so, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Jaime Reyes is a much different Blue Beetle than Ted Kord. And, you know, Jane Foster as Thor is worlds different from the God of Thunder himself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that kind of leads into something that I really enjoy about comic books and keeps me excited about them, you know, is that reading stories that offer different perspectives. Like, you know, I don't think that I would have had such a better, I wouldn't have had any real understanding of someone like who uses different pronouns than like he, him, you know, she, her, had I not read the genderqueer book that Mayo Kibabi did.
Yes.
You know, like, and that's a wonderful book, not to just, because I, you know, as someone who is a straight white man, and I've talked about this on the show before, that book was really eye-opening for me to understand like why someone wants to use those types of pronouns and why that's really important to them and why like it's important to respect people who use different pronouns and stuff. And, you know, to teach empathy through different perspectives, through a comic book, through storytelling, I think is fantastic. And it makes me excited to try new books like that Home Number One that came out very recently. Mm-hmm. You know, like that book slapped me in the face with how on the nose and how like, I don't know, apt it was in terms of explaining like how hard it is for people who are seeking asylum in the United States and how they're being treated today. Not to say that I didn't believe the news or anything like that, but to, you know, read it in a fiction story really hammers home some of the points that, you know, that you see every day on the news. And, you know, it's good to see people writing stories from those types of perspectives, you know, like to go back to Far Sector, you know, to talk about, the main character of that book, whose name is escaping me right now.
No?
Yeah, Joe, you know, to see her coming in as a black woman and, you know, having to deal with this police brutality on another planet where like everything should be different and things should be different, you know, because people live in space and everything should be a little bit more advanced, and to have it like come down to like, oh no, this is all still there. Like everything that she escaped from Earth is still mm-hmm. there. And, you know, in this new planet, like it's really powerful. And I think that, like, you know, the fact that DC's publishing a book that is extremely like on the nose with that stuff, not trying to hide it away with metaphor and stuff, is really, really important. And it keeps me excited about books because they're trying to inform their readers, you know, like these are the things that are happening right now and you should be educated about them. And these are the perspectives, you know, that are important to read about, because if you don't read about them and understand them, how can you have empathy for them? If you're trying to ignore the news and stuff like that, I think and it keeps me excited to try to find more books like that of people just, you know, not just talking about like things in politics, but just getting like different perspectives than who I am. Because you can read 1,001 books about, you know, people who look like me, but to read books about people who aren't like me at all, you know, is always really exciting to me, just to better understand, you know, our fellow human beings, you know?
Yeah. And getting it through, I mean, comics, but also just like fiction in general, mm-hmm. really gives you a way to empathize with a character in a more personal way than you might just on the news. You know, it's mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to intellectually understand these concepts, but to actually, you know, like hearing about Japanese internment camps in your history class is one thing, but when you actually read they called us enemy,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. To actually read that gives you such a more personal, more visceral experience with it. It helps put the horror of that experience into context.
Definitely. But, you know, it's not all constant seriousness, you know, about educating yourself. I don't mean to like that, you know, push us in that direction. I just that is one thing that does keep me excited about reading comics, because I think that to the point of, you know, comic books can try a lot of different things. I think comic books have the option to be able to tell those different stories, where on TV or in movies or in other mediums, it's a lot harder to get those past whatever network executives and blah 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 exist out there. Mm-hmm. When someone can just release a book on, you know, Gumroad mm-hmm. or Itch or something like that, and just say, hey, this is my comic book, you should pay me $1 for it, or $4 or $10, you know, that's really, really exciting. Like, this medium offers so many opportunities for that. And the reason I bring that up is because Paloma, in your notes, you said you were wanted to talk about Piao Studios.
Oh, yes.
And that publishing company makes me very excited, but I want to hear your take on it first.
Yeah. So Piao is wherever Stockholm is, maybe, is where they're based out of. And they're a pretty small like publisher, but they, in their like mission, like they try to put artists and like creators out there that you've never seen before. Like, so many artists that I've never heard of, they might have like an online following for sure. And I'm just like in awe. A lot of people will do like what looks like just like pencil artwork and pages and scans. other people do like amazing like digital artwork. But the first book that I think really blew me away by them was Funky Town. I'll have to look to see who the creator is, but it was just a very weird story. And I was like, someone wanted to make this a comic, and they did. And it's just like such a variety of work. Some of them are very personal. There is a story by Jane Mai, and it's called Piao, for, and it stands for Pretty Embarrassing Otaku Weekend. And it goes from like little like comics of her, like what it's like to table at conventions. And then the art style changes, and it's her getting ready to meet Inio Asano, who wrote Goodnight Poon Poon, a bunch of other stuff at, is it TCAF?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's her dealing with like anxiety and like a mental disorder as she's like trying to get ready to prepare to meet a cool creator. It's just an amazing publisher right now. One of my favorite things by them, that I think they started this newfound anthology trend that the big two are doing, but
oh yeah,
they're doing X-Mag, which is like an anthology graphic novel that's been coming out. There's three now with a different theme. And the latest theme, I haven't read it yet, is dark fantasy, which is pretty sick. The previous
that's
one.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And these ones, like these artists all look new to me, but the previous one was Paranormal Romance, and they even got Leslie Hung of Snot Girl fame to do a short story.
Hell yeah.
But it's publishers like that who are like putting like works out by creators I've never seen that are doing such fresh things with the medium. Like people's panel work is just incredible.
I feel like I've grabbed a couple books from Piao, and I'm always like flabbergasted at just the way that all these different artists approach things. You know, you know, if you're reading a book that's published by any publisher, like any major publisher, top 10, you know, publisher, it's, you know, you kind of know what to expect when it comes to like sequential comics, and that's fine. And there is literally nothing wrong with that. But there's so much more experimentation going on in these smaller publishers like Piao and a handful of others that are, that exist out there, that do like digital only work, or they do like super limited print run. Like Short Box is another one that I really, really enjoyed. I backed one of their Kickstarters, and like every single book was so drastically different. And one of them just like floored me. And it was really, really simple, like black and white with little sparings of color. And I was so blown away by the book itself for only being like 40 or 50 pages. You know, I feel like that emotional resonance that you get, like the rawness that you get out of some of these publishers, is so incredible. And it makes me really want to seek out more publishers like that, or more creators who are just putting out like really experimental work. Because like, I not to say that I'm bored with like your standard, you know, comic book, but like sometimes you just want a little bit a different taste, you know? And I think that these publishers really, really offer that kind of stuff for people. So like, I highly encourage people to, you know, spend a buck, see what you get, you know? I think that, you know, things like Panel Syndicate that Brian K. Vaughan and Martin, I think, are doing, like that whole thing of pay what you want for these comic books is a really interesting way to approach digital first comic books that aren't going through a major publisher and with like an independent publishing thing. And I feel like their stuff is kind of experimental. It's kind of your standard comics, but like to see like bigger name creators like this trying that kind of stuff is very, very exciting. And I think like that is like this is me getting at my soapbox. That is like the future of comic books in a lot of ways. You know, as we continue to publish more and more, you know, print costs are only going to go up, but digital distribution is going to go up, but it's not going to go up at nearly as fast of a rate. So, yeah, that kind of stuff also gets me very, very excited.
That's kind of funny, because I'm going to take it in the exact opposite direction.
Please.
Another reason I get excited about comics is to see things I've seen before.
Brian.
I get a lot of tie-ins to existing media in my comic books.
Okay.
You know, I've been following at least one of the Star Wars comics ever since Marvel picked them up. I've had at least one Star Wars book in my pull list. Currently it's Dr. Aphra, which I'm embarrassed to say I've bought like 8 or 9 issues of now and have read the first issue of the current run of Dr. Aphra. I have a pile on my bookshelf just staring at me when I go to bed every night.
We all do that. Yes. It's okay. Yeah.
But I also have, you know, like the alien book that Nick and I were fighting about earlier, but, you know, also the Alien Dead Orbit book, the James Stokoe joint a couple years ago. Yeah. I mean, that one was phenomenal. And I've also been loving the Life is Strange video game tie-in comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fell in love with those characters, and these comics are a way to have more adventures with them. And I know that for a lot of people, the fact that, you know, like, well, what's canon? Because if the comics say this, but then the movie says that, you know, what, how does that work together? And it doesn't. But I've been a Star Wars fan since infancy. Like, I'm used to that. Things contradict each other all the time. And that's just you just got to get a hold both in your head.
I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, you're getting more of a property that you enjoy. Yeah. And, I'm not trying to say that, like, there's only one way to enjoy things, because, like, you know, seeking out, like, new experimental, like, small press stuff is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, Spider-Man gets me excited, you know, like, yeah. Amazing or Star Wars makes me really want to keep reading comic books, because, mm-hmm. like, at the end of the day, as long as you're reading comic books, I don't give a fuck. Like, just keep reading comic books. Please, God, keep reading comic books. That's all that I want you to do. You know, and I'm saying that to anybody who's listening, you know, as long as you're reading comic books, that's what's important. And
you don't have to just be one person. Like, you can, you can like existing tie-ins, and you can love Spider-Man, and you can love going out and finding experimental stuff. There's no wrong way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I but I'm right there with you, you know, because I pick up, like, every time there's a sale, like Comixology sale, I'm always buying the Star Wars books, because, like, ain't nobody got room for all those Star Wars books at home.
No.
But I definitely want to read all of them, you know. And so, you know, I pile onto that because something clicked in my brain when A Force Awakens came out, and I said, you know what, I love Star Wars more than almost any franchise in the world. And you know, I'm not on the same level as you and Kara. I won't try to get to that, Brian. But
you didn't record a 10 episode miniseries about it.
Yeah, I didn't do that, but I still really love, you know, the franchise. So, like, I totally get that. And those books, you know, for however good or bad they can be, like, they still make me excited. They still make me want to keep reading, you know, more comic books in general. Which, like, to just go, like, on a hard left turn, I don't know, Paloma, if you feel the same way. I don't want to, like, just leave you out of this. Are there any big comic books, like, big licenses that keep you excited about comics?
I've pulled away a little bit now from this, but I remember, and I love how, like, comics can continue, like, a comic series or a TV series, most notably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The creator's curse now, but, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like, you're continuing the series. And I thought that was cool as heck. And they also rebooted Buffy for the Modern Age, but in comic format. So, like, she has a smartphone and all that jazz, and the characters traits are a little different, but I was very stoked for that. Like, I think it's really cool how properties, like, Star Wars is going to, like, be movies in some capacity for forever, I'd imagine, but it's mm-hmm. cool mm-hmm. to see, like, comics tell those stories in that universe. So I'm a big fan of, like, that keeps me excited too. I just don't think there's anything right now that I'm following.
Gotcha.
But also for, like manga and anime, I feel like is sustained Ooh. By people.
this is what I was going to turn in. I was going to turn left on in the conversation, was, like, manga also makes me, like, wanna, like, very excited about comic books constantly. And I feel mm-hmm. like it's taken me maybe a bit too long to really get into it. But now that I'm into, like, reading manga regularly, it's a part of my, like, daily comic habit. You know, like, if I'm not checking out single issues or graphic novels or whatever, like, of Western comics, I'm digging into manga in some capacity. And that, like, keeps me constantly reading. Like, I've already looked at my comics read for this year, and I'm almost halfway caught up to what I read entirely last year because of manga.
Amazing.
And I read all of One Piece last year. So, like,
scary.
A lot of it is like Dragon Ball, Hikaru no Go, and like these big like manga series that are just super duper exciting. And I mean, they're huge titles when it comes to manga, but then like getting used to that reading style has gotten me into stuff like BL Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
And, you know, other smaller publisher, or I guess less popular stuff in America, that's still very, very good. So yeah, but Paloma, I know you were trying to tangent into that as well. Like manga still keeps you excited about comic books?
Yeah, it really does. I don't know if it's just like US audiences or like translators and publishers are more like, oh, maybe we can branch out from the same like three styles of manga we've been translating, because and maybe there's like more publishers now too for manga, but it's just so good, the scene right now. I've definitely talked about this on my fictionality podcast, but we love us a food comic, and there's so much food manga. Yes. That keeps me excited about new comics. The manga scene
Delicious
is so good. Yes. Yes.
I'm never going to stop talking about that book, guys.
In my head, I was just like, Mike, if you say Delicious in Dungeon, I swear to God.
Check your bingo cards, folks.
Yep.
But yeah, I think we're just getting like a wider variety of like what's being translated over here. I think maybe a creative boom is probably happening over in Japan as well, because it's good for stuff that's come out like in the past 3 years or so. And the Shonen Jump app, that's a game changer.
For sure.
That is a game changer.
For sure.
To have manga on, and it's like not all the manga, but it's like prolific, perennial, if I'm using that word right, series just like on this app.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been able to read two major series from Japan, you know, Dragon Ball and Hikaru no Go, and like those are big books.
Yeah.
Right. And they're completely done. And there are plenty of other completed series on that app. And that's like when I need to, if I want to sit down for an hour and be like, hey, let's get through 10 or 20 chapters of this manga. Like, why not? But to your point before, you know, as far as publishing is considered, like, I don't know what happened, but Seven Seas and Yen Press and Kodansha, like, exploded in the United States. And I know that part of that is thanks to, like, Black Butler becoming a pretty popular book, Attack on Titan and Fairy Tail becoming pretty popular books in the United States. And those are not published by Viz and Shonen Jump or by Sheshwa. So, like, I think those books allowed those companies to say, hey, maybe we can try some of our maybe not as massively popular books here in the United States. And that's how we end up getting things like Witch Hat Atelier and Delicious in Dungeon and BL Metamorphosis coming out from these publishers that are probably not as nearly as popular, but they're still selling. They're still doing well enough. So, yeah, it's exciting to see that, like, you know, readers, especially, you know, people like us, a little bit older, but still really into comic books, wanting to branch out and try these types of books. And I mean, this isn't even touching on like the BL stuff that potentially could be coming over from Japan and that's being created here in the United States as a response to that. And a lot of the romance stuff that's also coming out that I haven't read a lot of, but I know is pretty prolific, as, you know, readers have gotten a little bit older and want something that's either a little bit more spicy or something that is just a change of pace from your standard battle shonen manga, you know?
Yeah, that's very real. And I also feel like with the new or like manga that's like just very different coming over stateside, I feel like people around our age are now like getting into their comic careers, and so you see how their influence from manga is like coming out into their creative work. I'm just very into it, like whether it's like art style or storytelling. I feel like I can see like a lot of artists who are influenced from manga growing up in like the smaller press scene, like the Piao scene. It's just cool to see that all coming together.
I mean, and it's funny, I don't know if this is just like, this is how stories are told, or this is like, maybe people are reading a lot more manga these days, and therefore they're using some of the like beats of those manga books. But when you read things like Fence, you know, you're like, oh, wait, this is just a Western manga. But there have been other books that I've read, you know, like, I don't want to, there's a couple books, you know, like I feel like some of Kirkman's stuff has like a very shonen feel to it, especially his more recent stuff. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, it's just, it's interesting to see those similar story beats kind of fall into Western books and see them become popular because of that. And I think that allows, you know, readers to say, oh, well, if you like Fence, you should check out Haikyuu, or you should check out Kuroko's Basketball. And I know you have to kind of read it, you know, right to left instead of left to right, but it's got the same kind of feeling and same kind of hype. And people are like, hold on a second, I can, there's how many chapters of this? I can read this, how many volumes of this? And with like this binge, you know, binging mentality that I think people have, and they're like, I only want to read a completed series. You're like, here's 40 volumes of this basketball manga. Enjoy. You know, that's really exciting to me because it's more people branching out and trying new books. And yeah, I think like that's it. I mean, that's another thing that makes me excited. I don't know. But I guess like if I had to say like my final point on this, the thing that keeps me the most excited about comic books is talking to other people about comic books.
Yes.
If only because, like, one, we have this podcast that is strictly started because I wanted to talk to my friends about comic books. And now we have like this Discord server, and we have, you know, people that we're friends with on Twitter and on Goodreads. Like, it's insane how much enjoyment I get out of hearing people profess their love about a certain book, something that I maybe would have never considered. And then I pick it up and I go, oh, holy shit, this is actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, like, I don't know, like 8 times out of 10, 4 out of 5, usually those recommendations are good. Like, I'm usually not turned off by people's recommendations of books. So that keeps me really excited. Just the idea that there's always more that I could be reading, and that like people out there have different tastes and can recommend me things that I maybe wouldn't have tried in the past. You know, and that's how I found plenty in hundreds of books over the years, is just people saying, hey, I read this thing, you should try it. And I'm like, fuck, I actually really love, you know, Delicious in Dungeon. I never would have picked that book up if someone hadn't, you know, recommended it to me. So that always keeps me excited. I mean, Paloma, Brian, you guys have known me for years and years. Like, I love talking about comic books with people. So, like, I don't know if you guys feel the same. Obviously, you're here, but that's because I threatened both of you before we started recording, right?
Yeah, Mike has some pictures on me. No, I was just going to say, I'm kind of like a dog when it comes to recommendations. Like, I might not understand the words you're saying, but I know your tone of voice. And if you're excited, I'm gonna get excited with you. Like,
okay. So just be excited about your book. Sorry, go ahead, Paloma.
I was gonna say that I very much love talking about comics and hearing what people are reading. I like telling people what I like to read, since I, even if I didn't get paid to do it. Like, sometimes a friend will come in when I'm like off the clock, or we're just hanging out, not even at a comic book store. And they're like, oh, maybe I'll just go in when you're working and I can ask you. And I was like, no, I want to talk about it off the clock. This is my life.
Right.
I want to talk about comic books. So I think it's great. I feel like maybe like half of like my favorite books from like the past year that I was like, these are my top books of 2020. I think we're like based off of recommendations, or just like having a spitball of about like manga or like new like single issue series, and I'm just like, whoa, I'll check this out, and they delivered.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great feeling too. Is like, I mean, the whole thing that I've struggled with for a really long time is like, I just want to know a lot of people who are all reading the same book so we can talk about it, you know. And yeah, it's really, you know, it's fun like to do things like our Goodreads reading challenge, or like we did this manga read along series where we read through all of Hikaru no Go, and like it was really cool to be able to just like week after week jump in and talk about a book that like we're all up to date on. We said we're going to read this thing, and I know that's what book clubs are for and stuff, but it always makes me excited to actually do episodes and talk to people actively for like 30 or 40 minutes about a book and like how much we loved it, or in rare cases, how much we hated it. Just to like have that sense of camaraderie, and that like it's exciting to find a book that everybody likes together, and we can go, oh my gosh, we can celebrate it. Because it's, I feel like when it comes to comic books, like people's reading, you know, it's very diverse and people are reading all sorts of different things. Like even just the three of us on this show, we had so many different things that we, and books that we like, to be able to find that like unifying crossover point is like a wonderful magical thing where we all go, yeah, that book's really good. Even if it's just a, like a recognition for 2 seconds, that is really, really exciting. But the fact that we do have all of these very diverse like reading habits and stuff is also a really exciting thing, because it means that it's we're having interesting conversations, telling each other about the different things that we're all reading. And that keeps me excited, like week after week coming back to the show, and just as being a comic book reader in general, it makes me really, really excited. So I just want to let you guys know this whole episode is going to be about me and what makes me excited.
Welcome to the Mike Rappin Show with Mike Rappin.
Yeah. but yeah, I guess, I don't know. Did you guys have any final thoughts here about like what keeps you excited and what makes you the most excited about comic books?
I do really think it's the forever spitball of like, what have you been reading lately? What's getting mm-hmm. you hype? Oh, you have to check out this book that I just picked up. The art's amazing. It really is like what you were saying, like it's the camaraderie, whether it's like, I've never heard of this before, or I'm super excited to see everyone picking up Invincible because I've been a fan of that series for forever. Yeah. I finally caught up to it and like was getting the single issues. So it's stuff like that.
I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree. Well, cool. I guess to wrap things up, I guess, Paloma, where can people find you on the internet if they want to ask you your comic book recommendations, or where can they listen to you chat online?
Ooh, yes. I'm on a podcast called Fictionality. So it's the word fictional and then tea like you drink. And I think our at is just at Fictionality. You could also just ask me on Twitter. My at is Paloma Deer, deer like the animal. I love talking about comic books and manga. I absolutely love it.
Well, I'm so glad that we had you on the show. This is great. We're going to have you come back. I say that to everybody. It's going to happen.
Heck yeah.
But thank you so much for your time. This is really, really fun, Paloma.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Well, if you guys want to, you can also follow Brian and I on Twitter. You can follow Brian at BrianHead. You can follow me at Mike Rappin. And you can follow the show at IRCB Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
This episode first aired on Patreon and is possible because of our wonderful patrons. You can join us there today for exclusive series like the IRCB Movie Club, Saga of Saga, and many more. You can join there at patreon.com/IRCB podcast. And if you haven't already, please rate and view our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us 5 stars. We work hard for it. And that really helps us spread the word about IRCB.
Don't forget, you can join our Discord community at IRCBpodcast.com/Discord to chat comics, ask the question, is a hot dog a taco or a sandwich? Listen to our episodes live and so much more. Join our next manga read-along series. It's going to be a blast. Also, it would help a lot if you tell your friends and local comic book shop about the show. I want to shout out Infinity Shred, who is the best band in the universe. Also, shout out to our good editor, Xander. He's just a nice guy, and he edits this show so well, makes it sound so great. I want to say thank you to Brian for being on the episode. Extra special thanks to Paloma for being here with us today. It was a blast. Thank you to Danny, Stephanie, Nick, and Saint, who were all in the chat earlier today while we were recording live. And thank you to everyone at home listening. Until next time, comics are good, and so are you.